This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 145. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Well, thank you, Announcer Bot, and welcome to How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. And as a reminder, we have a new Facebook fan page. Just search for SF Productions Podcast Network. You can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, download old episodes, get other SF podcasts, and read our blogs. Or you can go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, where you can leave us a review.
And you can contact us through the website, Facebook, or email, sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can catch us on Twitter, at SFPPN, or call the voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. We got that darn contest going on.
Yes, we've got the new website. And if you want to enter the contest, you have to visit our new website at sfpodcastnetwork.com, which is the same address, but it's a new site, and answer the question of the week that's on the discussion board. So click on the discussion board link and look for the topic that's QOW, question of the week. You can also enter by going to the Facebook page and hitting the like button if you have not already done so. You want to go to SF Productions Podcast Network, and you can follow us on Twitter at SFPPN. Do all three things to triple your chances to win.
And what can you win? Well, we have variant cover comics. We have a trading card box set, DC posters, and the grand prize is the Blackest Night Power Ring Spectrum set. And you can see all the prizes on the website photo galleries.
These are from our good friends at Pack Rat Comics. And now a word from our sponsor.
As Announcer Bot says every week, I've been collecting comics for over 20 years, so I've been through quite a number of comic book dealers. And no one matches the quality and value of Pack Rat Comics in Hilliard, Ohio. Jamie and Teresa have your favorite comics in stock, along with action figures, statues, toys, and all kinds of comic collectibles, along with a huge lower level filled with long boxes of older titles at great prices. If you want a regular pull account, you can't beat Pack Rat's discounts. The more you buy, the greater your savings. Pack Rat is well-organized, clean, and welcoming to new customers. They also hold regular events and community outreach, including a mini-convention for the upcoming Free Comic Book Day. So check them out on the web at packratcomics.com or call 614-527-8450 or just drop by. They're at 3864 Latimer Street in Hilliard, Ohio, open 7 days a week. I trust Pack Rat for my weekly comic book order, and so should you. Back to you, Mindy.
And again, to enter the contest to win the prizes provided by Pack Rat Comics, what you need to do is subscribe to our Twitter feed at SFPPN, and you won't get too many Twitters, just whenever there's a new show or if we go to a convention or something. So, you know what? That's not too onerous.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to our website and click on the discussion page link and add a comment to the question of the week, QOW, discussion. Nobody did that this week, but hopefully next week.
Yeah.
And you can like us on Facebook.
That's right. So let's move on to
this week's comics.
Justice League Generation Lost number 20 by Winnick and Bennett.
Now, is there only two more issues of this?
Four more.
Okay.
I believe it ends at 24.
Okay.
So Max Lord's secret origin is revealed, and we really haven't learned about Max Lord before this. Not a lot about his history prior to the JLI. He just kind of shows up, and of course at the time he was more of a wacky figure, so you really didn't care what his backstory was.
It was interesting, though.
Oh, yeah. So we learn that his father was killed as a whistleblower by this big corporation, and his mother tells him, powerful people are not to be underestimated, and when you're fighting powerful people, good people are always going to get hurt. So he amasses this fortune in order to buy the company, and then destroy it, but LexCorp gets there first. And at that point, the mother says, why settle for making money when there's villains out there who play by different rules? So he ends up manufacturing this fake event that ends up forming the JLI.
Now, was that part, did we know that already?
Not initially, not when they first had the story, but we've learned a few years ago, I think right around the time of the whole Checkmate and OMAC thing, that we learned that he had manufactured all this. He had set all the players in motion for that.
Yeah, I thought it sounded familiar.
Right.
So
then he gets the mind control powers. Then his mother is in Coast City when it is vaporized.
And this is the first we've heard of that.
Right, that's new. And he begins to realize, are the heroes doing more harm than good? So he takes over Checkmate and the OMAX, as we know. He kills Ted Kord.
Now, he just kills Ted Kord because Ted is finding out about this,
right.
Not for any malicious.
Exactly. Ted was
necessarily
just, in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes.
So Wonder Woman breaks his neck, as we know, and then he's brought back as part of Brightest Day. And at that point, he makes everyone in the world forget that he exists. So brings us back to the present day. Jamie is still apparently dead, or is this just another mind trick from Max Lord?
Or, see, I'm still convinced that the suit will be able to do something to
you would certainly think
revive
so,
them.
Because that's happened before.
Yes.
Now, we're going to be talking more about the subject of death in the DCU on our next episode, but there's just a lot of stuff going on in Generation Lost.
I tell you, if they kill off this new Blue Beetle, I may have to take a vacation from DC Comics for a while.
Well, I don't know why they do that when they're supposedly in the midst of trying to do a live-action Blue Beetle series with Jamie's character. Why would they do that?
Well, because the live-action or animated series don't need to follow.
Yeah, but they're all into synergy. You know, everything has to fit, even then.
Except for Smallville.
Except for that. Power Girl number 21...
That was sort of a tie-in to the Generation Lost.
And that was Winnick and Basri. So Karen leaves the JLI and because of the events going on in Generation Lost, and she goes to convince others about the existence of Max Lord. And she goes to the Batcave and tries to explain to Batman, Dick Grayson. He ends up forgetting in the middle of the conversation. Apparently, several times, they've gone through this for like half an hour, and every time he almost remembers, he forgets again, and they have to start over.
Now, there was another episode where they discussed it, and both of them forgot it, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Karen ends up exhuming Ted Kord's coffin, and then asks Dick to prove that Ted did not kill himself. Which has been the main concept that Max has been pushing to everybody's mind, that Ted killed himself. So Dick refuses to do it, but Bruce shows up, and he remembers now, because of all the events, apparently, that went on when he was the White Lantern for, like, 3 seconds.
Well, but also, he wasn't really here when Max did the thing, was he?
But we've seen him not remember.
We've seen
Bruce not remember.
Okay.
So Bruce ends up proving it forensically to Dick that Ted didn't kill himself. And so Dick sends out the call to the JLA and Oracle, and Bruce and Karen are going to return back to the JLI. And of course, Bruce was a member for a very short period of that era JLA at the very beginning, and then he left very quickly. So it is pretty much bringing up everybody who ever was in the JLI back into the group. Teen Titans number 92 by Crawl and Janty. Red Robin guest stars and then quickly takes back the leadership. They just kind of all defer to him.
But is he going to stay there?
I don't know. It certainly made it sound like they were because Robin's leaving. And that's basically what happens. The main storyline is about them being who they thought was Calculator, but actually it's a robot of Calculator. Actually, the main storyline wasn't nearly as interesting as the soap opera part of it.
That's true.
And Robin decides to leave the team. And when he goes back to Gotham, Dick notices that Damian has kind of learned some things from them, being a little more patient about things. I have to say it's a real shame they made this swap because I really liked the whole Damian Ravager teaming.
That's true, but I also like the little bit at the end where Damian says he does have a friend in Gotham, and I think he's referring to Batgirl there, Stephanie.
Yeah, that's true. We normally don't talk about Teen Titans because, frankly, it's not all that interesting in comic most of the time, but in this case, it was very interesting to see this whole the swap of the Robins.
If it's not that interesting a comic most of the time, why do you read it?
I don't know. It may be time for me to do some culling of the herd here.
Maybe.
Yeah. The New York Five from Vertigo by Wood and Kelly. This is a 4-issue miniseries. Actually, number 2 is out this week. I didn't get it on my poll list fast enough, and fortunately, our comic book shop had issue 1 for me as well. And this was a sequel to the New York 4, which was a graphic novel that came out under the Minx imprint.
Did you read that?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you read the Minx
one. Yeah, and I that was one of the ones. I don't know if I read all of them that you got, but I did read that one. And Minx was a sub-brand or a imprint that DC had for a while that was trying to cater to young girls or teenage girls. I think trying to get a little bit of that manga-esque.
Right. They weren't really manga stories,
no.
But I think they were aimed at those girls
that
who are
audience.
Reading manga now.
Right. And, of course, Minx no longer exists, so now it's under the Vertigo imprint. So this is a slice of life story where you see these 4 freshman college girls in New York City. They're all living in this Brooklyn apartment, and they're all part of this study which involves therapy sessions. And this is just a device that allows them to tell their story. They're basically looking at the camera, as it were, and just telling what their stories are. And this new miniseries adds this new homeless character, Olive, who becomes presumably the 5th person for the
right.
New York 5. What do you think of the first 2 episodes or first 2 issues so far?
Well, I have to say that I really like the format of the Minx book better, where it all comes out at once and it's in a nice little trade, and it was a smaller size.
Mm-hmm. Well, in this course, because it's Vertigo, there will be a trade for this, I'll guarantee you.
But yeah. It won't match the other books on my shelf.
Well,
wine,
there is
wine.
That, yeah.
I did like the story, though. I thought it was really nicely done. I like that they kept the same type of artwork and the black and white.
And one of the things you see in New York 5 in the previous miniseries was from this artist, Kelly, who does very almost photorealistic views of New York City.
Yes.
And according to an interview, he actually goes to places in New York City and takes a photograph and then makes artwork based on that. So it's very accurate. You could actually find, if you could get to the right point wherever he was at the time, you can basically see the exact same view that he saw. So I thought that was very interesting.
It is, yeah. I do think this is a book that you could give to a non-comic reader.
Mm-hmm, right.
And that would draw them in. I really think, you know, high school girls,
mm-hmm.
if
mm-hmm.
you could get them to read a comic, this would be one that they would like.
Right. And I'd consider this to be one of the gateway books.
Yes.
Absolutely. And then we have Spike number 5 from IDW by Lynch and Mooney. And Willow guest stars. Now, IDW is losing the Angel title to Dark Horse. So really, this is all they will have left is the Spike character.
Will they have Illyria?
It seems like they still keep that character. At least it seems like it.
It seems very strange to me that it wouldn't be like all the Whedon characters going over.
Maybe
they have different time frames where their lease expires, or
I don't know. You would think if you bought the rights to Angel, you would get the Spike character and you would get the Illyria character.
Yes, it seems so.
So,
but then again, they're using Willow, who's over in Buffy anyway.
Right.
So.
It seemed to be really good dialogue, I thought. It seems almost Whedon-esque, which I'm sure is what they're going for in all these types of titles.
Well, I liked it. I have to say, there's some things in this run that I really like. I love George the Fish. I just imagine seeing a fish floating down the street. And then when they say run from the fish, I loved Willow turning everybody into kittens.
Right.
I thought that was great. And then she found out that one of the kittens was Drusilla, and mm-hmm. she went a little nutso.
Right.
So.
And so she'll be in at least the next issue, at least according to the next issue blurb. So before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Okay. Go.
TV related?
Not really.
Movie related?
Not really.
Is it a list issue?
No.
Is it book related?
Not really.
Is it Is it music related?
No.
It's not music related. Okay. Is it about, it's not a list of like, no type of list.
No type of list involved.
Okay. And is it some sort of overall preview of
no.
what's coming up? Ooh. Is it a review of last year?
No.
Yeah.
You might want to ask me about who is on the cover.
Okay. Is it a man on the cover?
There is a man on the cover.
Is it just one person on the cover?
No.
Is it a man and a woman?
Yes.
Okay. Is this anything related to the Academy Awards?
No.
Okay. And is it is the man and the woman, are they both in the same project together?
You could say that.
Are they man and wife?
No.
Are they going to be man and wife?
Yes.
Is this anything related to the royal wedding?
It is.
What in the world?
I really didn't expect you to get that. So let's guess. Guess it,
well, it's William and Kate.
Okay. You got that with 38 seconds left. Yes.
Well, I suppose there's tangentially involved with entertainment.
They're talking about the media frenzy that's resulting from the wedding.
I suppose, but wow.
Yes.
Scraping for covers there, EW?
Well, apparently Prince William sells. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
But, yeah, I didn't think you'd get that. I'm kind of impressed, Mark.
Wow. Ooh, that was weird. All right. So, again, we do want you to remember about the big contest.
And, as promised last week, we do have our first winner this week. So, we put everyone who's a Facebook friend or who liked SF Productions Podcast Network into a list. Then we listed everyone who did comments, which was actually nobody. And then we listed the Twitter followers.
Mm-hmm.
And our winner this week is Twitter follower Kamen.
Yay!
Kamen. I'm sorry.
Kamen.
And so what we need is for Patrick to send us an email with his address where he would like us to send the winning prize, which is the variant cover Doc Savage comic. We may not send it out right away. We may hang on to it to see if perhaps Patrick wins something else in one of the future contests.
Exactly.
So that we can save on postage.
Right.
But if you would like to win, like Patrick did, all you have to do is one of those three things. Follow us on Twitter at SFPPN. Go to our website, the discussion page, and leave a comment on the question of the week. Really, if you leave a comment on any of the discussions, that would be fine.
Yeah.
Or like us on Facebook.
Exactly. That's all you got to do. And again, if you do all three, that triples your chances to win.
And if you're already following us on Twitter, you would need to retweet one of our tweets.
Right.
To enter.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, remember, we do have that Facebook fan page. You can search for SF Productions Podcast Network. You can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, download old episodes, get other SF podcasts, and read our blogs. Or you can go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, and please leave us a review.
You can contact us through the website, Facebook, or email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, or catch us on Twitter at sfppn. Call our voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
And thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.